commentator. Now, is there something peculiarly Italian about this whole Silvio Berlusconi story? Silvia Ronche thinks so. She is a professor of Byzantine civilization at the University of Siena, and she draws a few interesting, to say the least, historical parallels. I asked her first if she thought Italians were particularly understanding of alleged illicit sexual relationships.
Well, I think that's basically true. You know, we are an ancient and disillusioned people. We have had Caesar, who used to have sex with his soldiers, and Antonius and Cleopatra, and we have had the Roman emperors and Tacitus and Svetonius, who have narrated their lives, and Claudius and Messalina and Nero and Agrippina and Poppaea and so on. And then we have the popes, being for centuries the political leaders of the leading Italian state, the papal state, the state of the church. And they were men of power and were often sleeping with young boys and young girls and even with their own daughters, such as Pope Borgia, Alexander VI. So serious sexual scandals. But nonetheless, the state of the church held on for centuries. And then we have we've had Machiavelli explaining us what the virtues of a prince have to be, and they have nothing to do with his personal behaviors, the least with his morals. So we are ancient and disenchanted, and arcing back to our history, well, the Noemi scandal, it's nuts. And in any case, in my view at least, which is the view of a university professor dealing with the unspoiled private lives of intellectuals, writers and philosophers. But in my view, a sexual scandal is not something really able to affect our political way of thinking, meaning the political judgments of the Italians.
But it's very lazy, isn't it, to lump the alleged sex life of a national leader today in with these scandals of history. Is the whole country assuming that Silvio Berlusconi has questions to answer about his sexual behaviour?
Well, you know, everyone has a question to answer. But I think this scandal is perhaps even strengthening and reinforcing this image of Berlusconi as, you know, the ordinary person, the ordinary Italian. Well, of course, in your country or in other Anglo-Saxon Saxon countries, sex is perceived differently. I mean, I don't think that the Italians care that much with whom their leaders have sex. And I don't think the Italian males, Italians' fathers, Italian husbands, I don't think they really are disappointed about the idea of having a leader, having a crazy, wild sexual life, provided it's true.
So there is no sense, is there, in which the leader of the nation is supposed to set a moral example?
Well, you know, we are Catholic. And this means that, among other things, we are very tolerant about moral compromises. This is, in a way, a wisdom. But it's also, again, an historical thing. You know, I'm an historian in any case. The private moral corruption of the churchmen has never affected neither the personal power nor the soundness of the church state. You know, it's a unique example in history, an institution where the spiritual leaders were also the secular leaders, and the power over the souls was mixed up with the political power, with all its unavoidable realism and compromises and even moral corruption. So we tend to be tolerant about morals, moral corruptions, both that of the citizens and that of the statesmen. I think this is mainly, this is part, in any case, of our Catholic culture.
That's Silvia Ronche with her personal take on the Silvio Berlusconi story. She's history professor from the University of Siena.